We're going to go to Galatians again, Galatians chapter 2, a passage that we already read. We're just going to read a couple of verses from Galatians chapter 2, and I need to apologize a second time to the church secretary because I was playing with a couple of different titles, and when you look in the bulletin, we're not reforming justification by faith. That would put us in deep trouble. We are affirming. But that was the first word of another title that I had, and I didn't delete it when I sent it to her. So anyway, Galatians 2, beginning at verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law will no one be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ we too are found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. This much we read from God's word, and are going to focus primarily on verse 16, and then a little bit on the thought of verse 20, but primarily on verse 16. When John Tetzel pulled into town, Martin Luther exploded with righteous anger. Luther could have nothing to do with this new salvation that Pope Leo X was offering. They were called indulgences. And the idea was that a person could purchase a legal piece of paper, Pope-sanctioned paper, that would guarantee the person whose name appeared on that piece of paper would immediately go from purgatory to heaven. And so you could purchase an indulgence for yourself to guarantee your own future, that you would not spend any time in purgatory when you die, but you'd go directly to heaven. Or the big sales point was, how about the woman that gave you birth? How about your dear mother? Wouldn't you want to send your mother directly to heaven? Get her out of purgatory. I mean, we're talking about mom of all things, right? And so, you know, buy an indulgence for mom and get her to heaven. And so Tetzel, with his traveling band, came into town singing, "When a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs." And the little ditty just caught on and it went everywhere. And why not? You know, why not? Well, why not? Because people didn't have much money to spend. And Luther was incensed at what was happening. In the opening chapter of Galatians, we see Paul's righteous anger building. And he says in chapter 1, verse 6, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. If we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we already preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be in the standard of one who is cursed. As we have said before, I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." In the previous paragraph before our text, Paul tells the Galatians that he saw Peter living a two-faced life. That Peter was acting one way with the Gentiles and he was acting another way with the Jews, and Paul exploded in righteous anger. In the paragraph after our text, Paul declares in his righteous anger, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" He's asking and he's accusing, "Who cast a spell on you? Who made you different than you were when I was with you?" So out of his righteous anger, Paul writes the Galatians a letter, and he tries to bring them back to three central truths. Number one, God's gift of faith that gave them life. Number two, that the whole point of Galatians is that Christ is essential for our salvation. And number three, justification by faith is the manner in which God carries out his will. John Calvin called justification the hinge on which all true religion turns. Without this, there's just paganism and loss. Three times in verse 16 of our short text, Paul thunders, a person is not justified by works of the law. Here, Paul's telling the Jewish teachers that had ascended to leadership that their teaching is flawed and they're leading people away from Christ. Martin Luther modeled the Apostle Paul, and he challenged the religious leaders all the way to the Pope to say that these new teachings are leading people away from Christ. They're giving them a false security that will send them to hell, said Luther. The selling of indulgences benefits no one except for the Pope and his building project, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And Paul, as I mentioned, speaks to the Jewish leaders. Now, if you read the NIV Bible, you see that there's quotation marks around this text saying that Paul is speaking to Peter. I follow the school of thought that this paragraph is directed toward the Jewish leaders, it's directed to the people, the congregations of Galatia, and not to Peter. Imagine this, Paul and Barnabas come into town, and the people of Lystra think Barnabas is king of the gods, Zeus. They think Paul is Hermes, his messenger. They come ready to throw a big party and to celebrate that the gods have come. And then Jewish leaders come from the other towns and they stone Paul because of his speech and leave him for dead. And Barnabas, Luke, and John Mark and others drag him out of town and they make their way to Derbe where many believe. And then they go back to Lystra. They go back to Lystra to preach the gospel, and people believed. And all over the region of Galatia, these little churches are springing up, and they're believing. And they went to the synagogues, and they went to the people. And who's going to lead these new believing groups of people? Like in Lystra, the people that think Paul is Zeus, who's going to lead that church? And so it's natural that there were Jewish people that believed in the gospel and stood up and did what they could. The problem was that they themselves reverted back from what Paul was preaching to the old ways of keeping the law. They fell into the Old Testament patterns without seeing fulfillment. Thus, when Paul says in verse 15, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, he's addressing the teacher specifically. And he is saying, number one, there is salvation in the Anointed One. That there is, point A, there is no justification in works of the law. It cannot be. That we cannot fulfill that law. There is none. We ourselves were Jews by birth, and Paul is singling out this leadership that transferred from the synagogues to the church. And he says, we have come to know our works, and the works of the law would not save us. Even more, we have come to know that our works, specifically the works of the law, condemned us. And Paul depicts their knowledge and their conviction as a one-way door. He says, we have come to know, and he's setting up a contrast between the Jews who have the scriptures and the Gentiles who don't, he calls them the sinners. But as people of God, we know, or they having known literally, have come to know that the law doesn't save. That they already know this, and Paul is pressing this point. He's pushing it very specifically, and then he reverts to even a different verb form. And sadly, you and I read the Bible in black and white, like a 1960s TV. But Paul wrote to the Galatians in the ultra high definition color of a closeout 2019 model 90 98-inch class Q90 QLED Smart HK UHD TV with real 8K resolution on sale today for a sale price of $49,999. That's how we read it when we read it in the Greek language. Paul used a verb tense to speak of their knowledge in verse 16. To the simple yet we know in the ESV is a word that I've tried to teach you, a form that I've tried to teach you over the years, that it's a new reality. It is a doorway, a one-way door. And Paul's verb choice in this perfect tense shows that it's this reality, it's this doorway, it's this matrix to a new situation, and there is no way back in. Once you go through that door, once you pass through that matrix, there is no way back into the old. And he says, we have come to know this new reality. What are you doing? What are you doing trying to teach the stuff that's on the other side of the wall, the other side of the curtain? We're here. We've come to know this. There are times in your life, there are times in my life when we have seen things that we cannot unsee. An automobile accident just outside of Rocky Mountain House in the middle of Alberta. And in our car was a young student whose parents were in an identical accident. And his classmates, when they saw what had happened, pulled him to the floor so he could not see. I cannot unsee what I saw. No one in the vehicle could unsee what they saw. There are times when you hear things that you cannot unhear. They're troubling things usually. Sometimes wonderful things, but things that we hear that we cannot unhear. That those are the images that Paul is pressing on these Galatians. He's telling this select group of Galatians that they have come to know things that they cannot unknow. And one thing that they cannot unknow is that a person is not justified by works of the law. It just doesn't work that way. Paul, as a Pharisee of Pharisees, as a Jew of Jews, an Israelite of Israel, the best of the best, and when this Paul says we can't do it in the old way, then he's drawing on everything that he knows to resonate with them to say, we knew that we couldn't do it. That's why we were looking all the time for the Messiah, for the anointed one. We were looking for the promised son of David from whom the scepter would never depart from between his feet. 1 Samuel 7. We were looking for this one of Isaiah. We were looking for the time when of Ezekiel when God himself would come, because he had to come himself to establish peace. That we profane his name, but he had to come himself to honor his name. That they knew that they could not act out actions that would, in the end, please God. So he's saying, what are you doing? We've known this all along. We have passed through that reality of knowledge. And John Calvin said, all who know the majesty and character of God know they cannot enter his presence without a Savior. Point B, that there is certain justification through faith in Christ. This is the second part of the knowledge that they cannot unknow. In the same way, we cannot unknow it. Calvin said, once God plants a seed, he makes that seed bear fruit in his time, and it certainly will bear that fruit. In the Jewish paradigm, the Old Testament Jews, of whom the core of the Galatian churches and the Apostle Paul were the offspring, have come to know a new reality. A new reality that salvation is not in the law, it's in the Messiah. the Hebrew word for the anointed one. The Greek word is Christ. So Paul is saying we have come to know that a person cannot be justified by works of the law. We've come to know a person is justified by a Messiah. And so now he's saying to the Galatians, we have come to know that the Messiah has come, the anointed one has come. And so a person is justified through faith in Jesus Christ. So we believed in Jesus Christ. And that same word continues out in verse 19, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ. So Paul expands the argument. Now in verse 16, it's not works of the law. For by works of the law, no one will be justified. So we see that faith in Christ sets us free. It's faith in Christ that produces two results that are laid out in this text. And both of them are what Greek scholars call hina clauses, because they begin with this word hina. And unfortunately, the ESV translates them in different ways. And it's one of the ESV oops. There are a few of them, but there are a couple. In verse 16, Paul says, we believe in Jesus Christ, and let's just keep it the same as verse 19, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ. In verse 19, we died to the law so that we might live to God. That those are two fruits, two gifts that God gives. That faith produces a gift of justification, and faith produces the gift of living to God. Two fruits of faith. And Paul writes this to the Jewish leaders, but it becomes a letter to every Christian everywhere. That these are points for every person who has eyes to see and ears to hear. That we cannot get to God on our own. And when we come to know that we can't get there on our own, and we see the Savior He has provided, that He gives us two gifts, justification and the privilege of living with Him. And so very quickly, let's look at those two fruits. The first one, justification. So it's point two, point A. My pastor used to say, justification is just as if I'd never sinned. Justification is a legal word. It declares to us that God in His heavenly court declares on the basis of our union with Christ, our sins are forgiven. They were born in the body of Christ on the cross. Justification is a one-time event. That we are not justified over and over and over. We are justified in Christ, in God's heavenly court, one time. Now, what continues on is the process of sanctification. Justification is an act of God. Sanctification becomes this partner act of God and us, although it's really all on God. That there is a sense that we can say, because of Christ, because of the promise of God's word, that we can say to one another, if we know Christ, we are justified. We never have to worry, am I justified or not justified? If we know Christ, we are justified. It has already occurred. Because there's a group of people that don't know Christ and are not justified. And we've been given news. We've been given a blessing. We've been given the hope of sharing. And so, as people that are justified, how shall we live? And Calvin said, well, because you're justified by God's grace, He gave you the gift of Christ and justification, then you live graciously, right? How shall you live? Out of deep gratitude for God's mercy and the empowering of His Holy Spirit in us, we live to honor the living God. And that's what Paul says. We live as ones justified, verse 20, by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, that we're living for this Savior. We're living for His honor and for His glory. We are living because of justification, soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. That we live. We live as ones justified, and we live as ones who live to God, verse 19. We live as ones who live to God. That He has given us a new life, a new mind, a new inner being, a new mandate, a new purpose, a new blessing in life. And now the law becomes, in addition to teaching us our sin, it becomes a guide to know what God likes. And so we can go there to see what God likes, to live for Him, to walk with Him. He's even helping give us direction in how to please Him. And so we live for His glory, the acts of His word. We live for His glory, the blessings to this world, to even change culture because of His word and the blessings that He gives to this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for loving us, for caring for us, for showing us that we, like the Galatians, we have come to know. It is a new reality that we don't unlive. That even when we try, we can't outlive it. That You will bring Your fruit, Your seed, to bear fruit. That you will compel us to live as Yours. And so we pray, Father, that You would assure us, because we see Christ, that we have already been justified. That You assure us that justification is not anything that we did. It came to us by the acoustic of faith. It is a gift, therefore it is by grace. We learned it not by the world, but by Your word. And so it's from Scripture alone. And now You compel us to know that we are called to live for You. And so we pray that You would help us live for You. We pray that as recipients of Your grace, that You would help us to be gracious to the world around us. And that You would use us to proclaim the Reformation truth. To proclaim Scripture and Christ in newness of life through Jesus Christ alone. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.